Hi, I'm Marie Crowe, and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we will be looking forward to a massive summer of action for both the Irish men's and women's teams, alongside a busy domestic interprovincial season. Our panel of experts will discuss the upcoming games for both sides, what they're looking forward to most, and what the aims for both sides should look like for the summer ahead. Also stay tuned, as later on we'll be talking to Irish men's head coach Heinrich Mallon about the busy summer schedule and his first summer in charge. We'll also be talking to Gabby Lewis, a current opener for the Irish women's team, who is currently taking part in the Fairbreak Global Challenge. Let's get on with the show and introduce you to the panel for today. In this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Isabel Joyce and Alan Lewis. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Alan, to you first. It's going to be an absolutely crazy summer. So much going on. What are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to most of it, to be honest. Like, obviously, the India T20 series, when I kind of think of the match that was played all those years ago, 2018, just the buzz coming into the ground and actually understanding, you know, these idols that are the Indian players that play in the IPL. Most of the audience was actually from the UK, who had flown in with their whistles and the various, it was a beautiful day. And again, like, they're obviously trophy fixtures from an Irish cricket point of view. You know, I think it'll be a learning exercise just being around, that particular team. They'll come and play hard, the same as anyone else would do in international cricket. So it's going to be a great occasion for the players and hopefully one that they will relish.
Isabel, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to look past those India games. First one already sold out. So need to get tickets probably to the second one as soon as possible. Those are the 26th and 28th of June. I'm really looking forward to New Zealand as well, because I don't think I've ever seen them play live myself. And they are such a huge team, such big personalities. And having met a couple of them just at World Cup events, they're such a lovely group, and they're great for Ireland to kind of try and emulate, because obviously they're quite a small country as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing them, and it's brilliant to have them here. And obviously, by the back end of the summer, we'll be looking towards the World Cup, the T20 World Cup, and it'll be good to see how the team goes against Afghanistan, the old kind of rivals. So, like, there's plenty to be looking forward to. But I mean, India, it's all about India, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And as you said, the first game is sold out, so it's important to get the tickets for the second game. Alan, just how big a deal are these games, and how important are they as well, just giving the timing of them?
Well, obviously, from a T20 World Cup point of view, they're very important. It hasn't been our best format. I think our ODI format has been pretty good. Obviously, well, when I say pretty good, to win a series away from home in the West Indies was marvellous. They really did well. And obviously, that win against South Africa was probably the best all-round performance that I'd seen from an Irish team live in 50-over cricket. It was interesting just seeing even yesterday George Dockrell taking five wickets in the Inter-Pro in that particular match. He gives the side that little bit of balance if he can bowl better, and the unit is good. Andy McBrien is probably in the best form of his career. So, you know, there's lots to talk of. Harry Tector, six 50s in nine ODIs. But I suppose the concentration, and you can clearly see it towards the latter end of the season with the two T20s against South Africa in Bristol, and as Izzy has pointed out, you know, a country that probably have the wood on us in terms of T20 matches is Afghanistan. It's interesting, the matches are being played in Stormont, which any of the times I've seen those types of matches, the wicket is turned. So I'm sure Mr. Mallon will be talking at length to the groundsman in terms of the expertise that Afghanistan have in that area to try and nullify a wee bit of that. But I think the focus as the season will move on is to how we're going to produce a better game plan that we showed at the World Cup. Obviously, we were thrilled to qualify and go to Australia, but really that game, I suppose, against Namibia will live long in the minds.
It really will, Isabel. And when you just consider what Alan said there, it does seem like consistency is the thing that a lot of people would be hoping for this summer. Like, what should the expectation be?
Yeah, well, I think the ODI team, as Alan said, is quite settled. So it's not that they're going to keep focusing on that, but it feels like they've got quite a clear game plan and a clear idea of what their best team is. The T20 team is the one that probably needs a bit more talk going into it. And we're just not quite sure what our best lineup is. There's you know, it's quite a short game, so there's not time to get into it, and we need players in the middle order to perform. So that's what needs to be figured out in the time between now and Australia, and whether that's Balburnie up the top of the order, and then who goes in that middle order and what order that is, and who we're going to find to do some pyrotechnics near the end of the innings is the big question. We've had a few people named, but nobody's really done it yet. So I actually think the Interpros, the T20 Interpros, is a good opportunity for anyone who wants to put their hand up to go in at number 6 and 7 and say, that's what I want to do, and maybe be consistent and put their hand up and force their way into the team. In some ways, like we saw Porterfield do with the ODI team, he was left out and then he performed so well, they put him in, and then he did well in the Irish team, and he's made that spot his own. So we need a few more people like that. And then also, are we going to see Ben White given a proper run in the T20 team? You know, he was given a couple of games. He looked okay, but probably didn't have the experience and got taken apart by good batters, and then he got whipped out of the team. So, you know, are we going to go with two off spinners, or are we going to give a leg spinner, a young leg spinner, a good run, which would be my preference? So yeah, there's lots of learning to be done, and I'm sure Malin has been thinking long and hard about it, and we'll learn before long what way he's thinking.
Yeah, Alan, it's just really an opportunity. It's a clean slate. It's a new start. It's a chance for people to put their hands up and for other people to put their feet in place and secure those spots.
Well, it's more a formulaic thing in T20 cricket. Like, again, you know, if you look at it around the world, and there's aspects of it that have changed. Obviously, you know, the diet that we see is all the franchise cricket that we see. And we see many of the players that we're going to play against, South Africa, Markram, Miller, Pretorius. Pretorius is an example in the IPL, just has perfected these wide Yorkers. You know, there's various different ways of learning of all of these things. But I'd be more concerned about and I'm sure Heinrik Malan will be well into this in terms of a formula as to how we're going to play our cricket, because we stodged and stalled with, you know, players 30 or 32 balls. It's just not good enough at that level of T20 cricket. And it's sometimes a hard ask, and it's easy for us to hurl from the ditch. And for someone like me, like T20 cricket was just, it didn't evolve the same way. So even talking about it, but just watching it and perceiving it, that will be the most important thing, I think, that we will look and see if there's any change in the formula of how we play our T20 cricket. And I hope that emerges. I really do, because it's not as if there isn't people who can, as we say, find the ropes. It's just that they're given the confidence to go and do it. That's really the thing for me.
Yeah, well, he is a very young coach, and it will be interesting to see his approach. Well, a little bit earlier, I did catch up with the Irish head coach, Heinrik Malan, and he's recently taken over that job from interim head coach David Ripley. And I started by asking about how he's getting on in Ireland.
Yeah, look, it's been a whirlwind the last couple of weeks since we've arrived, to just try and get settled in our accommodation, get the kids to school, and you know, try and resume some sort of resemblance to normal life. But we're close to that point, and I'm really excited about where things are at.
You're going to get very, very busy quickly. There's a lot coming down the track. But let's just go back a little bit. So when you were contemplating this job and it was coming up, what attracted you to Irish cricket?
Look, I think there's a lot of good foundations in place around Ireland cricket, and I guess one of the key areas, you know, that sort of stands out with adding another format to hopefully, you know, play a lot more cricket around the red ball space too, is trying to develop players. And I guess if I look back at, you know, my career over the last 10 years, I've been fortunate to work in that space and developing players to go out there and showcase their skills. And I guess, you know, that's a real attraction to this job, with trying to grow that squad to compete across three formats. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. And hopefully we can, you know, start adding that third component to that wheel soon.
Depth is something that people talk about, or maybe lack of depth at times here in Ireland when it comes to cricket players. How do you grow that?
Yeah, it's a good question. But in the same space, I guess it's making sure we've got the right structures and systems in place. And I guess that's, you know, a big piece of my role at the moment is trying to get around the decision makers, the role players, the players, the staff, to get their understanding of where things are at, and then look at it from, you know, the understanding of how I've grown squads and implemented that experience that I've gained over periods of time, to hopefully get to a place where we've got 18 or 20 players across three formats, and if we have injuries or illnesses, that, you know, we've got players that can come in and we have some healthy competition.
When we look as well at this squad, there have been some good days and some bad days, but what it keeps coming back to is consistency. How difficult is it to get consistency from a team?
Yeah, look, I guess that's the magic question, isn't it? Because we want to be consistent over periods of time. But I guess it's creating clarity for us in terms of the brand we want to develop and the way we want to go about our business. But then also, you know, create that healthy competition piece. I guess that's, you know, a real part of creating an environment that are consistent is not necessarily looking over your shoulder, but knowing that, you know, every time I go out there, I've got to compete because there are people that are being developed to, you know, compete with us for the spot that we're in. So that's a major piece for us. And that's working together with the staff in and around, you know, our certain skill sets. It's also working together with the interprovincial coaches to make sure that they know what we're looking for in the international space and that they can keep, you know, putting those foundations in place and keep pushing players up, which is ultimately going to grow, you know, the player pool we pick from.
We're coming out the other side of a review here in Ireland cricket, and one thing that's come out is that there is a severe lack of facilities. Just trying to navigate that, how difficult do you think it's going to be?
Look, I do come from a place over the last 9 years where winter is winter, just like over here. So, look, I guess it's what we do within the facility. You know, a high-performance environment is not the facilities, it's the program that gets run inside the facility. So, look, hopefully I've got a couple of ideas and a couple of tricks up my sleeve around what that means for us in terms of developing our players, developing our skill sets. But ultimately, you know, we want to play more cricket. And hopefully, you know, with the investments that's now been made in the High Performance Centre, the investment that's been made with the hybrid wickets that's across the country now, you know, those are all little pieces that could make our puzzle look a whole lot different moving forward. And then making sure that, you know, we put the right programs on top of those facilities to keep moving forward.
How different do you think this job is going to be to your jobs in the past?
Totally different because it's an international job, you know. So I guess there'll be a whole different understanding of what it means when we assemble and disperse. But in the same breath, you know, we want to try and compete across three formats and you know, there'll be different pressures. But that's something that, you know, as competitive sports people that we're excited about, you know, getting out there and getting tested against a strong Indian side for the first two games of, you know, my international career as a coach, but also for our international summer. So, look, it's all exciting stuff and, you know, really looking forward to it.
Because this is the first interview that we've done with you, we get to ask the deep questions. So what kind of coach are you?
Look, I think that I try and put my players first and I try and develop my players. And you know, it's easier said than done. And a big part of that is getting to know them. And I guess, you know, the next 6 weeks while the Interpros are kicking off, that's a big piece of my focus area is to get around and spend as much time as I can with the individuals from a contracting point of view to make, you know, my understanding better of how they tick, what I need to do, what's the language we're going to use, and then ultimately, you know, start putting some building blocks in and around that.
So you're going to be really busy then for the next few weeks. What's the plan?
Well, the plan is to watch as much cricket as I can in and around the interprovincial games that are kicking off from next week. But then, like I said, in the same breath, you know, catch up with those players individually. There's a lot of work being done behind the scenes to build my library around where some of our players are at. But then in the same breath, you know, the interprovincial coaches are really important because they are the people on the ground that spend the most time with these guys over the next 6 weeks, you know. So if we can get our interprovincial coaches to have a sound understanding of what we're looking for moving forward, you know, hopefully they keep pushing a wider breach of player towards us, which is, you know, ultimately going to grow that understanding of having more players to pick from.
Where do you think Irish cricket is at right now? How would you assess it?
Very exciting. That's how I look at it. You know, if you listen to potentially where we could be with the new Future Tour program coming up, you know, there's going to be potentially a lot of cricket for us to play. So, you know, putting a strong foundation in place and building on the foundation that's there around developing that squad when we want to compete across three formats and understanding the workload management that has to now take place looking towards Test cricket. We haven't played any red ball cricket in Ireland for 2 years. You know, so there's a whole list of bowlers who's potentially played for Ireland that have, you know, not spent 2 days in the field in a red ball game. So look, there's a little bit of work to be done in that space. And I guess that's what we're trying to make sure that we're really clear on what that looks like from a planning and preparation point of view to be able to be in those positions to compete for long periods of time.
What is success for you with this team?
Look, ultimately, we get judged on winning and losing, isn't it? But I guess success for me is knowing that I support my players to the best of my ability to allow them to go out there and succeed. So that process of our outcome for me is what I judge myself on as a coach. Look, I understand, you know, we're in international sport. International sport's about winning or losing. There's no doubt about that, and you can't get away from that. But, you know, I don't wake up in the morning focusing on the winning piece. I focus on the work I do with my players, the relationship I try and form with them, developing their skill sets to go out there and perform. And hopefully that, over a long period of time, will take care of the outcome piece.
You've mentioned a few times about the importance of playing a lot of cricket. So you will be playing a lot over the next few months, that's for sure. What can we expect from you and your team?
Well, hopefully a brand of cricket that's exciting. They've shown, the main side has shown over a period of time that, especially in the one-day format, that they can be really consistent. Qualifying now for the World Cup, we've got a fair few T20 games coming up leading into the World Cup in October. So, it's making sure that we keep building on that and keep making sure that we keep testing some partnerships and some options for us to go out there and play what's in front of us. But look, it's exciting to think that we're going to have cricket with spectators. And the players are really excited about that. And the first game of the summer is sold out already. So, you know, it's a great starting off point.
It was great to hear from Heinrich there. He's such a positive guy, Alan. He's got a great outlook. And it's just fantastic to hear somebody be so excited about the job and the task in hand. He sees taking over this team as a huge opportunity for himself and just for Irish cricket in general.
Absolutely. Like, he's obviously been in a position, he's built up a vast array of experience, and he's still a very young man. So it's lovely to see kind of that ambition and that ability. And I'm sure it was a big decision to move from, you know, being a number two to a number one. And that's a big, big task. But again, no different to Berger in Scotland, who's done it very successfully. It's the sort of thing that builds in energy. And I'm sure this is what he'll be wanting to do with this team. I suppose the advantage in Ireland is, in terms of the pool of players, he'll be able to see a lot very quickly. You know, it's not as dispersed as the interprovincial series, so he'll be watching right through at that, I'm sure, and building his own stamp on the team, which will be very exciting for everyone. And I can't but wish him all the best. It's much the same time. There was a little bit of Heinrich Hu, a little bit like when we had the AD Hu, and AD became obviously a household name in Irish cricket, revered for the job he did from, you know, those early years in the early 2000s straight through to 2000, to in a sense put us in the position that we're on. And I knew him very well, deeply thoughtful guy, and I'm sure Heinrich Milan is much the same.
Isabel, what are the challenges that he faces now as he embarks on this role?
It's a huge job. He's one man and there's so much to do. ODI and T20 cricket's effectively two different teams. He's got to learn very quickly about a large number of players and decide, as a coach, you're taught that you need to have your principles. So what are his principles? How is he going to bring that into his team and put his own stamp on Ireland?
And what can he be optimistic about then, Isabel?
He cannot be optimistic about just the youth that's coming through. There's a really youthful exuberance to the team, and he's obviously a young guy as well, so he's bringing a lot of energy. So he'll kind of bounce off that. And, you know, the team is doing well in general in ODI cricket, so that he can build from that. And, you know, he is, like we said, young, so T20 cricket's something he would have grown up with, and he probably has a very good clear idea on how he thinks he can put a formula together to get the Irish team kind of out of that little funk. There's only a few things that need to change for us to become a decent T20 team. So hopefully he can bring that as well.
I think another thing there which will be very interesting, he has spent a lot of his career, and Isabel talked earlier about her excitement around the New Zealand series, which I completely agree with. They are a country that are the same size as us. I have so much admiration. They're so humble for everything that they've achieved. And, you know, coming from that background to Ireland, where I think one of his biggest challenges is going to be facilities, grass pitches. You know, he's saying he'll find them. And look, I hope he does, because, you know, we've all got to try and get behind that process as best we can. But hopefully his learnings and what he's seen in New Zealand, maybe he's going to be able to bring to bear here, because it's something we desperately need. And I hope we can learn from that experience, because, as I say, when you watch cricket from New Zealand, it's absolutely fantastic, everything they've achieved.
He's fully armed anyway, Alan, with the information about the facilities or lack of facilities, and quite confident that he will be able to adapt and they will be able to adapt, as they're just going to have to.
Well, that's there's sometimes a good thing in that. Absolutely, you can have conviction about what you're doing. Sometimes it's not going to be all plain sailing, and that's often a good thing, that you've got to fight for things that you want to achieve. And I'm really hopeful that he can do that, and that we can learn a wee bit from him in that regard too.
Yeah, and Isabel as well, it's just quite interesting to hear him, you know, just speak, I guess, like a lot of the modern coaches that we hear in so many different sports, just about not being defined by the results and more just on the performances and the progress that has been made. And he'd like to see progress in performance and consistency in performance. And often that's when that happens, that's when the results come.
Yeah, well, that speaks to his how he feels his players should play, which should be uplifting for them, so they know that it's not necessarily the end product, but if they're doing the right things, what they've spoken about, that he's going to back them. So that does give you confidence as a player going into matches, that if you're trying to do the things that you've talked about and worked on with your coach, if it doesn't maybe come off day one or day two, that you're not going to just get whipped out of the team, and you know, you can kind of hopefully ease into your career. Obviously they want to do well and have good performances, but you're not going to just have one bad performance and get whipped out, as I said. So yeah, it's a good thing for them to know, and he's obviously clear about that up front, so that the players know where they stand.
Is it a pressurised role, Alan, do you think, or will people be looking at this as more of a long-term project?
Oh, it's a pressurised role. Don't have no doubts about that. You've got a public who have loads of opinions. You'll have players who have. It's a different model now than in any case in the past. And he'll understand that. That's why he's taken the job, in the context of the challenge that it offers a young coach. And it will be wonderful if it's successful. And it'll be wonderful for us all if it's successful. And as I say, I can't but wish him all the best.
Yeah, exciting times ahead for sure. And while it's a busy summer for the men's team, it's also going to be really busy for the women's team as well. And now we are joined by current Irish women's opening batter, Gabby Lewis. Gabby has been a mainstay of the Irish side for a number of years, and her brilliant performances have earned her call-ups to the 100 competition last year and also to the Fairbreak Global Challenge in the coming week. Gabby, thank you so much for joining me. I know you're a very busy woman, especially because you're trying to juggle college and being a professional cricket player, which actually sounds really good.
Yeah, look, it's been a hectic kind of month, obviously, with the contracts coming in. But look, it's been brilliant, especially for the girls who are able to take a full-time contract. Not having to find a job has been huge. Like the girls kind of coming off doing 12-hour days and then gymming in the morning, doing stuff in the evening. Like, it's just been hectic. So I guess kind of being able to train more and kind of get more quality out of the training as well, not being tired and stuff like that. So look, hopefully it'll stick to us this summer with the amount of games that we have.
So what does that mean for you in reality then?
Yeah, obviously I'm still in college, so I couldn't take a full-time contract, but just kind of having that like ease of not having to get a part-time job and kind of just having my pure focus on any time I'm not in college being cricket. And that's kind of all I'd kind of ask for. Obviously, I do want to get my college degree done, and I'm keen to do that. So I guess just having that support around kind of the balance between the two. And yeah, I guess it's kind of the best of both worlds, because I wouldn't have thought that I'd be able to do them at the same time. I would have thought that I would have had to choose one or the other. So having to do them both is brilliant.
Yeah, it really is. Does it bring a little bit of pressure though? Because like, you know, are going to be essentially a professional outfit.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously it does require a lot of organisation and kind of communication with different people and planning in advance. And yeah, of course, like with full-time athletes, like there is a lot more expectation of you. But at the same time, it's not just going to happen like that. You have to trust the process. So obviously we do have a lot of high quality opposition, which we are quite positive about. So look, fingers crossed, we're training hard and that's all we can do. Just stick to that process.
From a personal point of view, you seem to have made a huge amount of progress and things are going really well for you. What would you put that down to?
I guess just hard work. Yeah, look, I would pride myself on one of the hardest workers in the team. And yeah, I guess just work as hard as I can on my game and kind of let that kind of look after itself when it comes to the game time. And yeah, just I guess being as organised as I can. I'm kind of an organised person. I do like things planned, and the girls will tell you. But yeah, look, that's kind of what I'd put it down to.
How do you think your game has developed?
Yeah, look, obviously starting so young, I kind of was kind of like a kind of fringe player coming in, but obviously having more responsibility, but obviously only being so young as well, I've kind of had to transition into more, I put way more responsibility on myself, but at the same time I'm really enjoying that responsibility. I kind of had a difficult year in the last kind of probably 2 years ago, but coming out of that last year and kind of coming through that patch of bad form, that's obviously something I was really happy to get out of. But look, it's obviously good doing well in 1 year, but to kind of replicate that the year after is going to be another challenge. So fingers crossed for this summer.
It must be great having somebody like Ed Joyce involved, just the leadership and the experience and the gravitas that he brings.
Oh, 100%. Obviously having a coach of his calibre coaching us and obviously signing on for the next 3 years has been huge for us. We obviously really, he's been one of, well, definitely my favourite coach of the team, and especially the girls, we all get along so well and I feel like we're going into the right direction. And of course, with the support of Glenn Quirrell as well, as assistant. So yeah, obviously him being kind of related to Izzy and Seal and kind of experience or kind of hearing what they've experienced as well, and he kind of does understand kind of the difficulties that we've gone through. But yeah, look, I think we're really moving in the right direction.
Yeah, he seems to have just a brilliant grasp of the landscape of women's cricket, which not everybody does, but he's just doing things right as well, and he seems to, when it comes to the squad, have got a good balance of the youth and experience that you need to achieve success.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, like, male sport, male cricket and female cricket is so different, and I think, look, we're learning as much as he's learning, and like, as long as we're both open to kind of meeting halfway, and like, communication is key, and that's something that he's very good at, and along with obviously Laura Delaney's been huge for our squad as well. And yeah, look, I think we're really moving in the right direction, so it's really exciting.
It's going to be busy though. It's going to be a jam-packed summer. So you have Australia, South Africa and Pakistan all coming to play in Ireland.
Yes. Obviously thinking back a few years, you kind of play these teams every once in a few years, and having three teams of that like high standard coming to play at home, like, is stuff that you dream of. Obviously we played Australia a few years ago, and to have them back on home soil as well is even better. So yeah, look, it's really exciting. Hopefully with the crowds back as well, we can get loads of young female cricketers, and look, that's the main, if we can get a few cricketers to pick up cricket, that's our main aim as well.
Yeah, I'd imagine depth as well, like depth of squad and players can be a bit of a struggle at times.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously playing that tri-series up in Breedy is great, not only kind of obviously having those South Africa games in Dublin, but kind of branching out to Breedy as well, which hopefully will bring more Northern players into the game as well. And obviously the addition of another team into the Super Series, which is mainly a Northern based team, is going to be huge. And look, the more players will just create more competition for spots, and that's exactly what we want. So yeah, it's really looking forward to it.
Exciting times ahead, Gabby. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Emil.
Isabel, just another positive interview. Great to see Gabby so excited as well about what's coming up, and also just to hear her speaking about how life is going to change a little bit now that she does have the part-time contract and is able to juggle her studies and playing cricket at that elite level.
Yeah, it's really exciting for her and for any of the other girls who are on those contracts. There is added pressure, but I think it's only minimal, the actual added bit. There's always pressure when you're playing at the level that Gabby is, and actually she puts as much pressure on herself as anyone's going to. She's so competitive and expects so much from herself, and I think that's why, one of the reasons why she's done so well. And I think for her, you know, she speaks about her work ethic, and that's the most impressive thing for me. She's always been like that since I knew her first, when she was 12 13 14. She always wanted to do as much as she could. And I think as well, you know, not having to worry about a part-time job or any of those good little things, being able to get rest, being able to, you know, have proper nutrition, all those kinds of things that maybe you can't do when you're, you know, on the breadline trying to play cricket and do all your different things that might have happened in the past. It just means that they, you know, there's not going to be any kind of one percenters left behind by this group.
Alan, it was just so interesting to hear her talk about how she's evolved as a player and how her game has developed and how much she's improved in the last little while. And look, she puts it down to work ethic, and you'd know more than anyone how hard she works.
Just at an Oak Hill, I remember there being a Super Series T20 day down in Oak Hill. You know those days where it's raining from the beginning of the day, you know you're not going to play any cricket. but you have to hang around because the last game is due to be played at 4 or something. So everyone was around, and Gabby decided to put in her headphones and go out and do a running session in the rain by herself. No one would go with her because it was absolutely horrific. But I think that's, you know, that was when she was about 14, 15. That speaks to, you know, the kind of work ethic that she has. So she leaves no stone unturned. That being said, she's also able to have fun. So she's not just about her cricket. And I think that's so important for someone of her age. She's hopefully going to have a long career. She's not going to burn out because she does have other aspects to her life. She is doing her study. She's, you know, going and seeing concerts. She's going on trips and all that kind of stuff. So I think there is a balance. But when she's, you know, cricket's always in the back of her mind, and she does work extremely hard on both her fitness and her cricket.
Alan?
Yeah, I think one of the major changes really was that opportunity that she got last year, you know, to go to the 100, because it kind of had everything. And, you know, I think the most kind of said one was, you know, how good Charlotte Edwards was and the whole fabric around the Vipers. And it kind of changed the personality, but she was able to kind of watch and see, you know, how the better players trained. She didn't make as much of a contribution by her own admission in the 100, but the Vipers were, you know, she made a contribution and there was a real good team feel, and, you know, the whole encompassing nature of it really helped her mature as a person. I clearly saw that when she returned, but it also, as Izzy said, you know, she's got a voracious appetite to try and get better. And obviously, you know, working with Ed and working with Glenn, again, I've said this before, outside of anything else, they've improved enormously, but they're an incredibly happy young bunch. And I think as things move forward, and even with the younger crew coming through now, that obviously Izzy has been doing coaching at youth level, the women's game has expanded. But the other thing is the quality has got better and better. And that augurs well for the future, but they're a great happy bunch. And like, obviously these contracts have given them an opportunity to put more emphasis on the cricket, and more particularly for both Ed and Glenn, the actual time that they can spend with the players that's organised. And they are very organised. That's one thing she's anal nearly about what time she's somewhere, always tries to get there half an hour earlier so she can have a few throwdowns with whatever way it is. And that's, you know, how ambitious players are. But the series that they have ahead of them, they just can't wait for it to happen.
Yeah, she did say that, all right. She does like to plan things. So this summer coming up, Isabel, just how important is it for them to be playing so much cricket?
Yeah, it's massive. And it finally feels back to normal in some ways. You know, being in Pembroke yesterday for the IP50 game between Leinster Lightning and North West Warriors, you know, there were no masks around. It's all back to kind of how it would have been before. And this will be the first time a lot of these girls will experience internationals in a much more normal setting. So the ODIs against South Africa, and there's 3 T20s as well. They're in June and they're going to come up very fast. T20s first and then the ODIs. And, you know, so they haven't faced a team like South Africa in a while. So this will be a big test. So they'll really, you know where they are once they play against them. You know, they've got absolutely world-class players. And when you look at those franchise teams, there's a lot of South Africans involved. 6 or 7 of them are in nearly every competition. So they're really well-respected. And, you know, they're seen as kind of the next big thing. So that'll be huge to see where they are. We have beaten them in the past in Ireland. But, you know, they've kind of come on leaps and bounds since then. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see how they go. They've then got Australia and Pakistan in July up in Breedy. So, you know, it's going to be tough because, like Alan said, they're very tight, together group, but that can change very quickly if things aren't going your way. So I hope that's not the case. I think that they're led well and, you know, they're really enthusiastic and hopefully they just learn as they go. But yeah, it's really important that then this isn't all they have then for another 9 months. You know, they're going to have tournaments during the winter and there's consistency there. So they can keep on playing series, you go back, you learn, you play the next series, you go back, you learn. And that's probably what we've been lacking in the past. You know, you go to your next tournament 2 years later and you've really no idea where you are.
Yeah. And when you have an environment where you have players who are contracted and a really established coaching ticket along with them, it just creates that environment, Alan, for them to improve and actually see the improvements that they're making when they are going out and playing regularly.
I think they saw the improvement at the ICC Women's World Cup, which was, like, in terms of a spectacle, it was absolutely massive. The gap, obviously, Australia just so far ahead. England lost their first three games, but so many of the games were incredibly entertaining. They were high scoring. The skill level was really good. The fielding was really good. Like, so the women's game has gone up many, many notches from where it was, from what I saw at this World Cup. Again, Ireland will probably, like, it'll be wonderful to play against the world champions, but, you know, they'll be eyeing Pakistan as a team that they can potentially beat. And I think that's a good thing. And again, they're going to be sitting around all these superstar players. And again, certainly the last time, Izzy will know, they were over, they were incredibly humble at that time when they came to play in Dublin the last time. There's no airs, no graces about them. And they're actually, in a sense, trying to assist the development of the women's game. But they've just taken things to a new level. Now, they've done so because, you know, they're fully fledged. They're equal status to men in Australia in terms of how they're viewed and looked after as a team. But again, it's a wonderful experience for our girls to have this volume of cricket. And again, we've got a series in November in Pakistan. That will be incredibly exciting. So, you know, they have all of this sort of stuff in front of them. They're on kind of professional contracts now, which are linked to their studies, which I actually think, as a parent and otherwise, relative to where they are, is a very good thing. But they've got cricket time and they're all loving and enjoying it.
Yeah, and that's all so important. And also, Isabel, they're going to be presented with challenges and experiences that they haven't seen before or felt before or known what to do in, and all that will help them as they develop as a team.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that they've been working on as a group and under this coaching team is just being adaptable on the pitch and being able to figure things out themselves as they go along. In the past, probably there were senior players who kind of, you know, led and others followed, whereas you want every player to be able to think for themselves and to be able to adjust and think on the pitch. So just cricket knowledge in general, that's come up a lot. They do a huge amount of video analysis that we wouldn't have had time to do, or the facilities to do, or just the coaching staff to do in the past. So, you know, that level of knowledge and being able to figure out bowlers and fielding positions and all those kinds of things, that's the level that needs to be stepped up to. And I think that's there. So that'll really help them when they're coming up against it. That's what you need when maybe you're in a situation where maybe you haven't been before, to be able to be adaptable on the pitch and to change things as you go, without having to be told or a message coming on in a bottle or something like that.
I think as well, Alan, when people are seeing the women's team playing so much cricket, it creates an opportunity for younger players to see the pathway that they can follow, and that in turn will develop that playing pool and create the competition that every team needs.
Well, I'm already seeing it in our own club. Izzy coached in Clontarf last year, and I watched a game only very recently between our club and their club, and I saw a great development of all girls. There's going to be an under-19 World Cup. They're all talking about it, Marie. They're all talking about it. They all want the next stage, and they're young. Like, obviously, Gabby came into the team, and we all knew the ills and the vagaries of that. But now they've got a tournament of their own, these young girls, to aspire and look forward to. And there's many decent cricketers in the women's game at a younger age. And, you know, it's grown beyond all recognition. It's a game that's very user-friendly. It's highly skillful. And I was actually amazed at, you know, even at that club level, for those younger players, how much they'd improved.
Yeah, it's absolutely fabulous. Sure, as you well know, Izzy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I played against Clontarf last week for Mary, and I've moved back, and it was very mixed emotions. I was very much up for them, but mostly up for us. But it was brilliant to see just the improvement, even from when I left to now. It's like every 6 months, these players can jump so much, and that's due to the fact that they're in panels. So, you know, a few of those Clontarf girls have done well in underage teams, and they've made their way into academies or underage stuff. And it's incredible the difference, just because they're maybe training a level above. Obviously, they've got that the other coaches like Ed and the likes working with them. So, you know, they've stretched and they're able to, you know, meet that next level. And that's really important, to try and get people from each club in there, because then they bring that back. And you can see that the other players that they play with are nearly meeting them as well. So it's just trying to have smaller gaps between players is massive. And that's only going to be a good thing. And as you said, Alan, they've got something to look forward to. Like, I'm hearing all about this Under-19 World Cup as well, and there's great excitement about it.
It's all about driving standards, really, isn't it? And the more people playing at a higher level, all that will filter down in the clubs and at the underage setups as well. Now it's time to turn our attention to the Interpros. They are underway. The IP50 Cup has just started. Alan, Leinster are favourites. Can anything upset that?
It's hard to see it, but at the end of the day, it's... They've already got one out of one. George Stockwell, 5 wickets yesterday. Harry Tector, having moved back from, you know, the Northern Knights back to his home province with an excellent 78, and his brother opening the batting, which was a position that he hadn't had before. But they've got a kind of tremendous track record. Nigel Jones has done an excellent job with them. And I think it's up to probably the other provinces really to up their game to get to the Leinster Lightning level.
Isabel?
Yeah, I mean, cricket is a game where a couple of players can just win a game for you. So, you know, it's not that the other teams aren't, like, obviously Leinster have been dominant, but the other teams do have players who can just win a game on their own. So, like, obviously Paul Sterling's one that jumps to mind. Like, if he makes a big score, then they might turn Leinster over, and then maybe one other bad day and then suddenly you're chasing the tournament. So it can happen, but at the moment it just looks like if someone doesn't perform, someone else does. So the opening pair of Barry McCarthy and Little didn't take wickets yesterday. They looked uncomfortable, but then you had George Stockwell coming back and looking the most assured I've seen him in a long time, taking 5, and then Harry Tector coming back in and bowling his off spin. I mean, Simi Singh was the most expensive bowler, and he's actually in the ODI team of the year. So, you know, he obviously didn't necessarily do the job, but someone else did. And then Tim Tector at the top of the order, as Louis said, he's just been thrown up there really from number 7, having not quite got the opportunity, or probably not done as well as he would have wanted. And he's taken it with 2 hands, and that's the kind of atmosphere around. You kind of have to take your chance when it comes, because there's so much competition in that team.
And Alan, as well, you do have the added element of the Ireland men's head coach, who will be watching on with keen interest too.
Absolutely. And you know, there's a block of games now. It's interesting to see the Munster Reds have appointed PJ Moore as captain. That was one of the aspects of last season, you know, watching the games that we did last year. Obviously the Warriors improvement was huge under Gary Wilson at the time, and they'll be wanting to push that on. Obviously William Porterfield still there, that kind of think tank in there. Probably the Knights are the ones who have, you know, in a sense, really struggled through the competition. Munster, obviously, with, you know, players that were parceled down, Kevin O'Brien playing for the Munster Reds now, but certainly PJ Moore, I was surprised that he didn't go on the Wolves tour, because he becomes eligible to play for Ireland in October. But I thought his captaincy last year was innovative, particularly in that win they had against the Knights up in Stormont. And I think he'll be relishing that type of responsibility and position now that he's come back to Ireland as an example. So, you know, with it all to play for, I think, like, obviously Leinster will be the team to beat. And I think if they're on their A game, they will be hard to beat. But there's obviously the other good sides out there that will be looking to try and get themselves to that level.
And Isabel, there is the Arrakis Super Series as well. 3 teams this year, a bigger pair pool, more opportunities too.
Yeah, a new team comes in, and it is kind of a new look, even though they're a team we've seen before, because it's very much got a northern flavour to it. Based up there, and they're training up there as much as they can. Obviously, there are some of the senior players from down south that are being added to the team, like Orla Prendergast and Leah Paul, and that's really important to give them the support. But it's going to be a big learning curve, I think, just even playing club cricket year on year. Having been an international, it kind of you can tell the difference between the top players and the next level down, just in how hard it hits your hands. So there might be a little bit of a bedding in period for some of those girls who it's their first year, but hopefully they relish it and it goes well. And James Cameron Dow is the new coach up there, and he's worked with the NCU girls for a few years now, so you know, he knows the players well, and you know, hopefully once he's seen the team play a few times, he'll know what he's about, because it can be difficult until you see where you're at. But yeah, so it's really important, I think, that there are three teams. And there's also a bit of a period of time here where there are a couple of games without Gabby Lewis, which is huge. If you're playing against her team, you know, that's one person who you need to try and get out. So if she's not playing, then it's a bit of a boost for whoever's playing against her. So yeah, it's exciting to see. And, you know, there are spots up for grabs for those, for the kind of 8, 9, 10, 11 in the Irish team. So lots to play for the players who aren't maybe absolute shoo-ins. There's quite a big squad there that are vying for places, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's really important, Alan, as well, to have that shop window, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, I was only talking about that particular match that I went to watch, and as an example, and I, you know, pinpointing names, but just one sprung to mind of a massive improvement. Freya Sargent, who's played a little bit of it, but like, she bowled proper off breaks, but even more important, like, she was an absolute gun in the outfield, like a massive good arm. And, you know, these are the sorts of things that can force you into a team. You know, and again, she'll be looking at that as an example. And I'm just pinpointing one player because it just stood out to me, because I knew where she was before and where she is now as an example. And absolutely mad keen. And again, this is what Izzy is talking about. Like, there is this real drive, and that's going to be one of the things that we'll see. And we'll see, obviously, the third team and what level those players are at. And yes, they've obviously got to broaden the player pool. I hope it doesn't disadvantage the standard. I hope it doesn't do that. But, you know, you've got to go with the ambition of what the coaches feel. And that's what they feel is the next best step. But again, it's going to be an opportunity for some of these other girls that may be on the outskirts of teams to play in the Super Series, which they all want to do.
Yeah, for sure, Alan. You just got to keep driving forward. It is going to be a busy summer. As I said at the start, the India tickets are sold out on day one, but there is some available for day two. So it's important to get your hands on them, and tickets for the other home internationals as well. Plus, there is a new home for the IP and Super Series live streams, www.livestream.com/cricketIrelandLive. Do check that out. Thank you to Isabel and to Alan for your opinions today and your company as always. And thank you for listening to today's episode of Green Ball Podcast. We'll be back in your feed regularly throughout the year. So the best idea is to make sure you subscribe to the channel to get the latest episode of the Green Ball Podcast.